Dr. Hoffman here. This Intelligent Medicine podcast is brought to you by Super Beets. Beets are a nutritional gold mine, full of antioxidants and nutrients, but they're a mess to prepare. So just mix Super Beets with 4 ounces of water and boost circulation, relax arteries, and maintain healthy blood pressure. Get the Dr. Hoffman special offer at intelligentbeets.com. That's intelligentbeets.com. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it is time for Q&A with Layla. Each week, we answer listener questions. You can send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. Layla Mudin, of course, is our Hoffman Center nutritionist. We work together on a daily basis to solve patients' problems. She is a registered dietitian. She also has earned an advanced master's degree in the field of nutrition. So how you doing, Layla?
I'm great. How are you doing, Dr. Hoffman?
Very good. Very good. Yeah. So let's see. Before we get to questions, by the way, you can send us your questions. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the place to send your questions. Radioprogram@AOL.com. And we will endeavor to answer as many of your questions as we can, providing your questions are of general relevance and providing your questions are answerable. And sometimes, sometimes it's too complicated. We just can't get into it. And I think we actually have an example today of a question that's a little too complicated, but I'll comment on that question nonetheless. Yeah. Before we get to questions, though, we talk about weight loss quite frequently here. You know, how can you practice medical nutrition without having natural approaches to weight loss and rational approaches to weight loss? And, patients and clients ask us about the widely touted green coffee bean extract, which is thought to be a miracle weight loss supplement that was highly touted on the Dr. Oz show. That caused the product to literally explode in sales and popularity, gave it great credibility. And I have to say, I mean, I personally was not that impressed by green coffee bean. I mean, otherwise I would have ordered that product as something to sell at the Hoffman Center if I thought it really was valuable. And you too did not seem to be that impressed with it, correct?
No. I rarely find any of these kind of supplements to be very good at all.
Yeah, the magical weight loss supplements, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we do like EGCG to some extent. There's some literature that suggests it has a thermogenic effect. Mm-hmm. Also, the product Capsiate, which is it's a mild version of red hot chili pepper, a capsinoid compound that has some pretty good clinical data suggesting that it may be just a mild effect, a modest effect on accentuating weight loss. So, there really is no magic to weight loss and proper nutrition.
There's no magic bullet,
Right. Yeah. So I was highly gratified, because I've been seeing I think these people are totally unethical in marketing this product. They're literally robbing people of not just money, but also I think when you sell people a product that disappoints them and people don't lose the weight that's claimed, people start thinking, what's wrong with me? They lose their self-esteem, and they also may lose trust in the natural products movement. So there's just some players here that I think are just really doing a disservice to our field. And so I was gratified to see this headline. I sent it to you earlier today. Green coffee bean manufacturer settles FTC charges of pushing its product based on results of, quote, seriously flawed weight loss study. And, I'm not a big friend of the Federal Trade Commission, frankly, because I think that they have an anti-supplement bias to begin with. But I have to say, in this instance, I'm very happy that they at least gave a little swat on the wrist to this company that makes green coffee bean extract, Applied Food Sciences. However, it literally is a little swat on the wrist. I mean, if you or I were fined $3.5 million, we would just be despondent. But a company that may have made literally hundreds of millions of dollars selling this product, I mean, hey, it's like a little speeding ticket, It's like pay the ticket and hide your money, in some offshore account. I mean, that's how these fly by night weight loss products operate. So anyway, just the details of this. The FTC complaint alleges the study was so hopelessly flawed that no reliable conclusions could be drawn from it. The flawed study, which purported to show that the product causes, quote, substantial weight and fat loss, was later touted on the Dr. Oz show. And I have to fault Dr. Oz and his staff for not properly vetting that study and just passing it along uncritically to the public, because that's when it really took off. Anything that's been on Oz, boom, it's it becomes a phenomenon.
Yeah, like the Oprah effect.
The Oz effect when it comes to natural products and diet pills. The FTC, in its ruling, writes, Applied Food Sciences knew or should have known that this botched study didn't prove anything. In publicizing the results, it helped fuel the green coffee phenomenon. So here's what's wrong with the study. I mean, you may say, well, you know, it's like he said, she said, right? I mean, the government says that it's not good, and these guys say it's good. But when I read about this, I really get a sense that they perpetrated a great fraud, that this is scientific misconduct, that it's unethical to the highest degree. Because if a drug were developed on this basis, it would be a major scandal, and all the scientists would lose their jobs.
Would it?
I do.
It probably would. Okay.
Well,
I think so.
You might ask.
I think there's a bigger issue here of, there is so much flawed research that does go over.
Yeah. Well, you might ask, and there have been many instances of drug companies concealing negative results about their products.
Yes.
But,
yes.
When that comes out, scientists and medical researchers lose their jobs. Their reputation is forever tainted by association with scientific misconduct. So anyway, let me read this. The study's lead investigator repeatedly altered the weights and other key measurements of the subjects, changed the length of the trial, and misstated which subjects were taking the placebo or the green coffee bean extract during the trial. When the lead investigator was unable to get the study published, in other words, no scientific journal would pick up on this. So what they did is they got a couple of guys at the University of Scranton to front it out, to beard for it. They were professors. And for a fee, they put their names on the study, and they rewrote it in such a way, because they know how to write studies and for acceptance in medical journals, they cleaned it up in such a way that it could be accepted in some, probably.
They must have been paid handsomely for this.
Unfortunately, I bet you they weren't, because often these guys will sell their reputation for a song. $5,000 or $10,000will get you a scientist to sign on to a study. Despite receiving conflicting data, Vinson, Burnham, these are the two professors at the University of Scranton, and the company, AFS, Applied Food Sciences, never verified the authenticity of the information used in the study, according to the complaint. AFS used the study to falsely claim that green coffee bean extract caused consumers to lose 17.7 pounds, 10.5% of body weight, and 16% of body fat with or without diet and exercise in just 22 weeks. And so, importantly, the release by this company claimed that study subjects lost weight, quote, without diet or exercise. But in the study, the subjects were actually instructed to restrict their diet and increase their exercise. So you can't have it both. I mean, they did lose weight, possibly, in the study. They may have exaggerated the weight loss, because this seems like pretty incredible weight loss in just 22 weeks. Probably they pumped up the data. But they actually were instructed to restrict their diet and increase their exercise. And so it's really not true that this magically melts the pounds away without any effort or without any deprivation. So the net result of this, a little swat on the wrist, AFS is going to have to pay $3.5 million. Not a big deal for a company that probably has just, taken bags of money to the bank. And,
here's also the gist. We see a lot of these fly-by-night supplements, they always say in the small print, even on television, even on those late-night infomercials, when combined with a diet and exercise program.
Right.
Nobody really reads that fine print. So it's a... Yeah.
But I think they even made the audacious claim that you didn't even have to exercise or diet.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. It is absolutely audacious, but, that's
Now, I will say this. This does not completely disqualify green coffee bean extract from being a pretty potent antioxidant. I think that there may be some benefits in terms of it being a protective substance like EGCG from green tea, or cocoa extract from chocolate, or resveratrol from red wine. I think these substances are intriguing, but they don't make the pounds magically melt off. I mean, you might say, hey, let's do some more research on green coffee bean extract, because maybe there's, you know, beneficial phenolic compounds that are present there that might, say, protect the brain or protect the heart. You know, we know that people who drink a lot of coffee, they have a slowing of the process of dementia. It's not just about the caffeine. It may be about those dark substances, phenolic compounds that are in the coffee. So there may be something to the antioxidant protection, but that's a far cry from magical weight loss pill.
Right, right.
I think there's an element of vindication, because we were from Missouri. You know that expression, I'm from Missouri, show me state. And we weren't convinced. That's an old expression. Maybe that dates us, or dates me anyway. But, I approach these things with skepticism. It takes a lot to get me won over, and I never really was sold on this particular compound. Same thing with the raspberry ketones,
the mangosteen,
these different kinds. I don't think they really deliver the goods. All right, I don't want to beat a horse to death here. We've got questions, so let's proceed with our questions.
Yeah, I'm going to try to shrink this down.
Shrink it.
This comes from Judy.
Yeah.
My sister, who's 59 years old, goes for bone density every 2 years and has gone from osteopenia to osteoporosis. Long story short, she's been taking Fosamax, she's been taking calcium, some vitamin D, some fish oil. She's active, but there's been no improvement. How do we increase her bone mineral density?
Right. And let me just comment on that particular question, because I reviewed it actually before you read it on the air. And I said, hey, let's do this one on the air. But ordinarily, this is precisely what we do in the office. This takes a lot of analysis and a lot of detective work. There is no facile answer for a question like this, because what essentially this person is writing is that her sister is doing everything right. She's even taking a powerful medication, and she's taking strontium. And, oh, by the way, she's exercising. She's on a great diet. She takes vitamin D. And what the heck is going on? Why isn't she improving her bone density? And this is an unusual situation, because she's using big guns to help her develop and repair her bone and improve her bone density, and it's not happening. So some underlying process is keeping that from happening, and that's where detective work comes in. And neither of us can answer this question without doing extensive testing.
She needs a full medical and nutritional assessment. She may have malabsorption syndrome. She may have celiac disease.
Yes.
We don't know. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, that's what... That we have a suspicion of that, because in the face of all this good therapy, it's almost like, if you're trying to fill up a bucket with water and it's got a hole, there's a hole in the bucket, it's just not going to fill up, no matter how much water you put into it. So there's a hole in her bucket in terms of her bone metabolism. We don't know quite what it is. She has some sort of underlying malabsorption, or some inflammatory process in her bones that is, or maybe she's missing some critical nutrient that's part of bone metabolism. Maybe she has,
to know what her DHEA is.
Some severe hormone problem. I was about to say, You know what's going on? Which was she anorexic? Did she suffer from an eating disorder that caused her to irreparably damage her bone? Has she been on steroid medications, which can sometimes damage the bone permanently? These are the questions we would have to ask in consultation. And, hey, frankly, that's why people see us, because otherwise we would just, 24/7, we would just be answering questions on the air.
Wait, I need a day off, Dr. Hoffman.
Exactly. So, we got day jobs in addition to this radio gig.
Right,
all right. All right, let's take our next question.
Okay, this comes from Ben. Dear Layla and Dr. Hoffman, I recently read an article on the Mind Body Green website that recommended taking 1,000 micrograms of lithium orotate as a daily supplement to maintain optimum health. I was a bit surprised, as I had never heard of taking lithium as a supplement. A prescription dose has certainly helped some people I know who have severe bipolar disorder.
Yes.
But for those of us in stable mental health, do you feel the supplement is advantageous? Thank you for your time. This is from Ben in Albuquerque.
Yeah. I did not see the article in question on MindBodyGreen. I write for MindBodyGreen, and I have to say that it's a great website, but not all the information there is I agree with. And this is an instance where I do not think that lithium orotate, which is a non-prescription form of lithium, which is offered as a drug at much higher doses, is a critical part of everybody's nutritional supplement program. I really don't think that that's the case. Lithium, of course, is used for treating manic depression, or as it's now called, bipolar disease. And it is given at much higher doses. This is 1,000 micrograms or 1 milligram. I think, you know, we're talking about 50, 100 or more given to patients with these psychiatric problems. Lithium is interesting in that it actually may have antiviral properties against herpes. So, yeah, so there's a little bit of a side application of lithium to treat chronic recurrent herpes. And it's available because it's a mineral at low doses over the counter. So it can be obtained without a prescription. Will a tiny amount of lithium, you know, you figure, well, okay, if it helps bipolar disorder at high doses, will it help people be happier a little bit, you know, enhance mood, you know, even if you're not profoundly depressed? And the answer is, we don't really know. You know, one of the interesting things is that, you know, there's a place called Warm Springs, Georgia, which is where FDR hung out, and he built a spa there, and he ultimately died down there. And he used to bathe in the mineral waters at Warm Springs, Georgia. It's a natural spring, and the waters are rich in lithium. And when you see pictures of that place in the 1930s and the 1940s, everybody seems really happy. And they, you know, it's just like it seems like, oh wow, the waters have such a nice therapeutic effect, and it is reputed that the lithium content of the water makes people's moods better. But I don't know that you know, the 1,000 micrograms of this lithium orotate is going to deliver that benefit to every single person who reads MindBodyGreen. And I this is not a product that I routinely use. And I don't, you know,
I've only heard about it recently for herpes outbreaks. So
yeah, I'm not really down with it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's very interesting. All right. Our next question comes from Elmer. How much vitamin E, both tocopherols, tocotrienols, would you believe now is over the safe limit a day? Would 1,000 IU be okay? And how to interpret the percentages like IUs versus milligrams, which I actually looked up. One IU is typically anywhere between 0.67 and 0.9 milligrams, depending on some other feature.
Okay,
but,
Actually, you know, for a while, I just sort of said, well, it's sort of almost like a one-to-one. So 400 milligrams is not like 400 IUs. 400 IUs would be how many milligrams according to that formula?
400 IU, then you times it by 0.9. So it's going to be somewhat less.
So it's actually fairly equivalent.
Yeah.
It's almost fair to say that it's approximately this, you know, 400 milligrams is 400 IUs approximately, but not quite. Okay. So I'm not too far off. All right. So the question is, you know, what's the upper limit? Well, the answer is we really don't know. And all, you know, while vitamin A toxicity is very well established, I mean, it's a clear-cut problem, and you have definite symptoms with that. You can even have pseudotumor cerebri, is like a brain swelling with that. Very serious side effects with too much vitamin A. Liver damage, for sure. Cracked lips and scaling palms. You can have pretty devastating side effects from vitamin A. And vitamin D, same thing. You can get calcium deposits throughout your body, which are excruciatingly painful. You can get kidney stones. You can get elevated calcium. But you have to take enormous amounts of vitamin D for that to happen. But it can be toxic. Vitamin E is a fat-soluble nutrient, but we really don't know the upper limits of its toxicity.
I'm trying to think. As you're talking about, I'm trying to think of any condition where this would be contraindicated. I'm not coming up.
Yeah. So
anything.
Of interest to me is that most studies with vitamin E are done with 400, maybe 200, maybe 800, maybe sometimes 1,000 international units, but rarely above 1,000. But recently a study was done where they used 2,000 international units of vitamin E, alpha tocopherol, just not even mixed tocopherol, and they found dramatic impact slowing the progression of deterioration of Alzheimer's patients. They had about a 30% slowing in their loss of ability to take care of themselves, which is, I mean, a pretty clear endpoint, you know, that you want to be able to groom yourself and take care of yourself and not be dependent on a caretaker. And if the 2,000 of vitamin E could do that, that just knocks the tar out of any existing drug. Just that single application alone, 2,000 international units of not even what we consider the most desirable form of vitamin E in this study. So were there a lot of side effects? Well, they didn't note a lot of negative ramifications to the use of 2,000 international units of vitamin E. And I think the study had to proceed over a fairly long time because it takes a while to notice deterioration in Alzheimer's patients. So, you know, I think vitamin E is quite safe. The question is, you know, what is really the optimum dosage? And I don't think we've really established that. And there may be, you know, different dosages may be applicable to different conditions. Higher doses for neurodegenerative conditions, for general prevention or protection, 200, 400. In our multi, our Hoffman Center multi foundation formula, we decided to put in a modest amount, 200 international units of vitamin E. And it's the mixed tocopherol kind. So, you know, we didn't want to go overboard, and we recognize that people are sometimes taking other antioxidants. They have additional vitamin E, or maybe they want to take an additional vitamin E pill. So we didn't want to put too much in our multi, but 200 is enough to give you pretty good support and prevent vitamin E deficiency.
Yeah, and we get some from food, like our nuts and our seeds.
Yes, avocados are a great source. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, okay, Elmer, thank you for your question.
Yes. So this is a good point at which to divide our podcast into two parts, as we do each week. So let's consider this part one. And Layla, give us a preview of what questions we're going to tackle in part two coming up.
I like this one. What is the best number for blood sugar?
All right. We're going to sink our teeth into that question in just a moment. So stay with us. Coming up, part two of this week's Q&A with Layla. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.